Blog Talk Radio.
Life is a journey, not a destination. There are no mistakes, just chances we've taken. Lay down your regrets, 'cause all we have is now. Wake up in the morning and get out of bed. Start making mental list in my head of all of the things that I am grateful for. Early in the morning, the dawn of a new day, new hope, new dreams, new way. I open up my eyes and I open up my mind and I wonder how life will surprise me today.
Abundantly with Tamika Patrice King. I know I've mentioned this before, but I just love that song, Beautiful Day by India Eilee, excuse me, and think it's such a perfect fit for what it is that we talk about here on the show. And so I hope that you are taking a chance to just listen to the words, really let those words kind of marinate in your spirit. As Jesus talking about, hey, all we have is really just this moment. And no matter what else is going on around you, you know, we've got to choose to make it a beautiful day. And I hope that your week has been everything that you've wanted it to be. Tonight, on this Thankful Thursday, I am thankful for Rams in the Bush. In recent months, there has been an onslaught of help coming out of the woodworks. And whether it's been from someone who's offered to provide services to me for free in exchange for advertising their work, or those who've offered the friends and family discount to help me afford the creative ventures, to those who believe in my gift and vision so much that they share my name and works everywhere they go, even to those who have opened up opportunities to help me get more exposure in a myriad of other ways, I am seeing these blessings manifest. And truly it is a blessing, and I'm overwhelmed by their selflessness and effort in the most amazing ways. And so to each of you, I thank you, and you all know who you are, and you know the many ways that you have thrown into my life, and I appreciate each one of you. Let that be an encouragement to you. Some of you right now can't seem to be to pay for a blessing, but every obstacle that could come up has, and you are frustrated, tired, depressed, and ready to give up. Been there, done that, and it wasn't all that long ago. And you know, it's interesting when things come about. God will speak a word over your life, and the word will come to pass. You don't know when it will come to pass, but he will speak it, and then sometimes it seems like, everything that could possibly come against you does. Then it looks like the word is not truth, or that it will never happen. And I think about the journey that I was going through when my first book came out, Season of Change, and it was supposed to be, first of all, it had been a labor of love, and there was just many things the Lord had spoken over that particular project. And, in addition to it having been delayed by, well over a decade, just one thing after another, when the time finally came and more pieces lined up where I could actually get the book published, there were so many things that came up. And so, I'm a person who, likes to give the little man a shot. I don't always have to use the person who's already established, because, truly everyone starts at ground zero at some point, and, for those who are lucky or faithful or, whatever, they work their journey and you continue to keep going on, and eventually we'll reach a broader platform, but for the ones who are just starting out, the indies or the new starts or whatever, I like to work with those people and to give those people a chance. And so what had happened was the Lord gave me, he assigned people to work with me and, let this one handle that, let this one create that for you, let this one do that, and it was either people whose companies were in need of a blessing, or it was those who were kind of starting out and needed a major project to work on. So what its intention was for all of us to rise through the ranks together. The more exposure I got, the more people who saw, what it was that he was doing in my life, the more exposure they would get also, because their hands would have had a part in the project as a whole, And, but when I make comments like, that we obey the directives of the Lord, it's because been there and done that. And I have, I have seen some people really just blow off stuff, and have really missed some major blessings in their lives because they didn't value what God valued in the way that he valued it. And so, out of all the people that he assigned for me to work with on the first book project, only one person stepped up and really just gave it her all. And but what they didn't know, God won't tell you what's attached to the things that he's telling you to do. He'll just say, hey, I need you to do thus and so, and because of the relationship that you have with him, and because, well, he's God, and hopefully he's Lord, that's a little bit different thing, in your life, he is counting on that relationship that you have with him to point you in the direction that he's trying to ultimately take you. It's for your benefit anyway. He's not trying to do anything that will ultimately harm you, and so, but sometimes we have things that are kind of hidden in our hearts, or we have things that are on our minds or that we just don't want to participate in. And so what each of those people did not know was that the blessing of the next level came attached to how they handled this little project. She doesn't have the money to print 10,000 copies right now. Will you treat her the same way that you would treat the person who does have money to do that? So there are all these different things. Are you going to give her your best creative energy, even though she's not working, she's not some multi-million-dollar account that you're working on? You don't know where I'm taking her, but are you going to give her the same level of professionalism and care and treatment that you're going to give these big people over here, yet you're asking me to give you blessings, and I'm sending my people to you? How are you going to treat the people that you deem as little. Do you see them the way I see them? And sometimes we miss that lesson, and we don't think that it's very important, but truly it is. So I bring all that up to say that, you know, in light of the new project that I'm working on, the new book that's coming out, you know, this time I have help that I didn't have before. And when I picked up, I remember leaving the publisher, and I had the first batch of books that come in, you know, and what should have been this happy and momentous occasion, you know, as I was leaving there, I was completely just frustrated, and I remember even just crying heading to my destination, and they weren't happy tears. Here's this project I've worked on for years, and it finally has been birthed, and yet it had been one frustration after another. So that's why I was saying to you, you know, be encouraged and know that even, you know, when it seems like stuff has gone haywire or people are not doing what they're supposed to do, it's not going to be that way always. And so, you know, God had promised me that things are going to not be so difficult, you know, in my life. And, you know, this is after having spent a lifetime of things just not coming to me easily and being made a promise, you know, and it didn't quite work out with the first book. But this time, you know, apparently something has stepped, maybe I've stepped over, or, you know, perhaps it was just because he continues to deal with different people. And so he has assigned people to me who are now taking the assignment that he's given them concerning my life very seriously, you know, and it's humbling, and it's overwhelming in a very beautiful way. And so I'm just encouraging you that even when things are at their worst right now, they're not going to stay that way, and that when God has given you a vision and a promise of your future, he is going to do just what he said. I'm going to say it again. If he has given you a vision and a promise for your future, he will do what he promised. He will watch over his word to make sure that it does not return unto him void. The faces of the players may change. We all have freedom of choice. But whatever it was that he promised you, it will happen. So one of the things that has come up, like maybe in the last few months or so, is, I'm sorry, my voice is doing some weird things that time of year, but one of the things that has come up is, you know, really, the book has been out about a year now. And so, you know, according to, you know, what I saw happening, I thought that it would have been much more successful than it has been. And I'm not saying that it's doing bad. It just has not reached the platforms that I thought that it was going to reach. But, you know, this one has become my learning experience. I know a whole lot more stuff to do, you know, with other projects and ways to get myself out there and stuff like that, you know. So, but I didn't know that it was going to become another full-time job. And so, but one of the things I had to do was, you know, when you are a creative person, you know, you have to give whatever it is that you are working on. You want to give it your best because ultimately, you know, you are your brand. You know, you are what they are buying. So they're not just buying a book. They're buying a book that I've written. They're not just taking on DJ services. They're taking on DJ services you're providing. They're not just going to a hairdresser. They're going to you as the hairdresser, you know, who, and they're expressing a certain level of treatment and of care and to look a certain way when they're done. You know, fill in the blank, whatever your thing is. And so, you know, when you are putting yourself out there and you were saying, you know, hey, give me and my product, give me and my service, give me and my gift a chance, then you have then obligated yourself to give them your best. One of the biggest complaints I hear, especially with indie authors and stuff like that, is that they will rush to put a product together, send it out there, and not really do the things that it will take to make the product excellent. You know, stuff like hiring an editor, making sure somebody else who knows what they're doing proofreads it. You know, so it's riddled with all kinds of, you know, errors and typos and things like that. You know, stuff that really turns off potential buyers, you know. And you have to remember that when you are putting forth an effort like that, it's not just one moment. It's not just one book. It's not just one party. It's not just one hairdo. you know, but potentially, you know, you are interfering with your ability to connect with people later on down the line. You only have one chance to make a first impression. And so, you know, if you are just fluffing off and just giving people garbage and you've just thrown some stuff together, they're going to know. And they will consider spending their money elsewhere the next time. You know, people want to be treated a certain kind of way, and they want to know that you respect their buying dollar. I mean, they had to work for it. They've put in hours for it. They are exchanging time that they spent earning it in order to be able to purchase your product or service or whatever it is. And so they don't want you just throwing something together. And so sometimes we don't do things with a spirit of excellence, but we really need to do that. And that was kind of a separate little food for thought. You know, but we are still kind of on our topic of, like, healthy relationships and stuff like that. So I know it may not seem like any of the stuff I talked about had anything to do with that, but it's all relative, you know. One of the things that I have had to really work on, like maybe over the last, you know, few months or so, is the need to be less rigid. So I bring that up because talking about, you know, the first book and how I thought it was going to have been at a certain place at a certain time, you know, yada, 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 okay. And so, you know, but what I'm finding is that when I am dealing with things of the Spirit, there's a need to be less rigid. God doesn't change, but people are fickle, and they alter plans with their choices. So, you know, whatever it was that he spoke will come to pass. It may not come to pass right when it was initially supposed to, depending on who was doing what they're supposed to or not. But being able to be more fluid, like water moving with the Spirit, like a gentle current shifting when he shifts, you know, those are things that are helpful to make sure that you're not so disappointed if a person chooses not to step up. You know, it's not that it won't happen. He may just have to find another person to make it happen. And so, but if you are just so rigid and so stuck on one person, one entity, one being, you know, being the ultimate answer to whatever the prayer is, you might find yourself disappointed and heartsick and, you know, and depressed and all those things that you don't necessarily have to be if you just choose to keep your eyes focused on God and be fluid and move with his Spirit. There's actually a scripture that talks about being like the locust. And locusts are kind of interesting because they move in sync. You know, they are all there, and they move as one unit, one body. And so, you know, when one goes left, they all go left. When one goes right, they all go right. And so how that applies to us is we want to move with in sync with the Spirit of God. When he's going left, we're going left with him. When he's going right, we're going right. If he's slowing down, we're slowing down. We don't want to go ahead of him. We don't want to lag behind him. We want to be right there in sync with him, because in that ebb and that flow is a grace and is an ease. Also that leads you into, you know, what it is that you are most looking for. So tonight we're going to talk about expectations and cutting loose dead weight. And so, you know, I hope at that point you can see where what we were just talking about leads us right into that, because if you have an expectation, excuse me, of a person to do a certain thing or to be a certain kind of way and they don't measure up, pardon me, and they don't measure up, you have this disappointment. And you know, many times we have unspoken expectations. I expect you to be there for me. You know, when I call you, you need to be there. But if you've never told the person what it is that you expect, is it really fair to hold them, you know, accountable when you have gotten disappointed if you've never spoken what it was that you actually needed? You know, people are not mind readers. You know, now granted, sometimes you will let a person know what your needs are, and they may choose that they don't want to participate. But you know what? That's really their option. They can do that. You know, we all have freedom of choice. You don't want anybody strong-arming you to do a thing, so we shouldn't strong-arm others to do a thing either. I call that, I don't believe in chaining souls, and I so mean that. You know, if you can't do it because it's in your heart to do it, if you can't be there for me because it's what you want to do, you want to be there for me, If you can't step up and claim me as yours because that's what you want to do, then that's fine. I'm not holding it against you. I'm moving on without you, you know. And it just is what it is. But sometimes we get so stuck on it has to be a certain way. It has to be a certain person. You know, it has to be according to this dream that we've had since our youth or whatever. But you know what? We always forget about the human factor, that people have choices, and they have their own things that they come to the table with. And, you know, and all this life and stuff that comes up while we are planning and trying to, you know, control destiny. We don't get to control destiny. We just get to participate in it. So, you know, we need to, first of all, recognize what our expectations are. You know, it's not fair to expect someone to meet your needs if you've not told them what those needs are. And then you put it out there, and then you leave the choice up to them. And they get to decide, yep, this is something I can do. No, that's not something I really want to do. And, you know, after the two of you have a conversation, you can decide then, okay, yes, this is something I can work with. Because no one person is going to meet all your needs. They weren't designed to. If they looked all like that, we wouldn't need God. So, you know, no one is going to meet every single need that you have. However, when you put your needs and trust in God's hands, He will ultimately make sure that all the needs that you have are met through however means, you know, whatever means it is that He chooses to use to meet them. And so, you know, that's something to kind of, you know, keep in mind that, you know, and that's not to say that certain people shouldn't. Of course, you know, if you're married, you know, you want your spouse to, you know, to be an emotional support for you. You know, you want to be able to, you know, to link and to join financially together and to do some things. But people still are where they are. And so, you know, sometimes we're strong where others are weak and vice versa. So we may not always be on the same page, you know. However, the needs are still the needs, and they still have to be met. But instead of looking to man to meet them, we look to God to meet them, and He will work it out. Thank you. So many times we have conversations, and we mess things up because we want to press the issue instead of just saying, timing is everything. Instead of just saying, you know what, Lord, is this a good time to have a conversation with Him about that? Is this a good time for me to broach that subject with her? You know, and sometimes He'll just say, now's not a good time. You know, you are not going to get the best version of this person because they got stuff going on. Or, you know what, shh, just be quiet. You know, if you just let it go, I'll handle it, and it'll work itself out, and no words ever have to be spoken about it. You know, I think sometimes we want to just make something into what it is that we want it to be. We don't take the time to actually tap into the power that we have that's there to help us, the Holy Spirit, of course, you know. And so we mess stuff up by talking too much, you know, and by jumping ahead of them. See, there again, that thing with the locust, jumping ahead of them. We don't need to do that. We need to be in sync with them, you know, and He will tell you when to have a conversation. It's so interesting because a lot of times the things that we think would be the solution to a problem is rarely the solution to the problem. And we think, oh, yes, I'll do this and I'll do that, and, you know, things will line up like clockwork, and you do the things that were in your mind to do and mess stuff up even worse. You're like, how in the world did that blow up? Because we are not cutter versions of each other, you know. We are all so individual, and we have all had the experiences that we've had, and those things don't just go away. And so, you know, we need a partner like God. That's why it says that a three-cord strand is not easily broken, you know. And so, you know, if you have you and your partner and the Lord, that's the three-cord strand. And so, you know, you need the presence of God in your relationship. Who better to help you deal with the one that was created than the one who created them or the one who created her? And so, you know, God will give you wisdom. To you, it's no big deal. But to the other person, it's a monumental thing. If He says, stop what you're doing right now, pick up your phone and call her, and you're thinking, oh, but I'm trying to, you know, finish this thing up right over here. You know, God knows what was going on with her, in her, that makes her feel like she's loved, that makes her feel like she's not loved, that will, you know, could cause a problem, where if you had just taken the time to stop what you were doing and make a 5-minute conversation, it would have just completely smooth things out. And I wonder sometimes, why is it that we try to do things in our own power so much, never realizing that we mess stuff up all the time when we do, you know? And so when you are having situations and having expectations and things that it is that you want and need, and in any of your relationships, relationships with your child, relationships with your parents, relationships with your friends, with your siblings, with your partner, you know, with your spouse, you need the presence of God in those relationships to be able to help steer you in the direction that you need to go, you know. And, you know, there are, you know, like I said, people are wired very differently. And I'm a person, when I first get off work, you know, especially when I have, depending on what I'm doing and what the day has been like, please do not bombard me the moment I walk in the door with stuff. You know, let me come in. Let me take my coat and shoes and stuff off. Let me sit my stuff down. Don't meet me at the door asking me for 15 things. You know, you are not going to get a very pleasant response. And so, you know, but those are the kinds of things that Scripture also tells us to, couple, you know, to dwell with each other according to knowledge. And so if you know that about a person, then why do that to a person? You know, why set yourself up to, you know, have a negative experience when you could just wait 5 minutes, 10 minutes, give the person a chance to go in there and wash their face and change their clothes and get comfortable, and then you're dealing with the person who's prepared to be able to handle the level of conversation that it is that you want to have without it having to, you know, to be anything negative because you haven't just overstepped, you know, the person's boundaries, or you haven't stepped on what it is that they need. And so I guess this is my encouragement to you to invite God into your relationship and then listen to him and do what the heck he tells you to do. I'm going to say that again. Listen to him and do what he tells you to do. He knows the person that he created. He knows what they need. He knows what you need. And so don't you want someone who's dealing with you to be able to deal with you according to knowledge and to deal with you in the way that you are best able to receive information? Then don't you think you need to do that with the other person too? If he says stop what you're doing and call her, you need to stop what you're doing and call her. It's not always about you. It's about the person you're in the relationship with. You know, you esteeming that person and putting that person's needs even above your own, even if that person is putting your needs and esteeming you higher than herself or himself. If each person is focused on meeting the needs of their partner, not themselves, their partner, and the partner is focused on meeting the needs of the other person, both of you are meeting each other's needs, and needs are being met. Nothing's falling between the cracks. And so, you know, really, really think about that, because sometimes we say we want to be in a relationship, we say we want somebody, you know, but the truth is we just want somebody to pour into us, and we want what we want. But we're not willing to be flexible. We're not willing to share, you know, and to compromise. But you can't. You can be in a relationship by yourself. But who wants to be in a relationship by themselves all the time? You know, so if you're in a relationship with someone, then the other person needs to be just as important in that relationship and just as esteemed and valued in that relationship as you want to be. Treat people how you want to be treated. If you don't want to be ignored, don't ignore somebody else. If you don't want to be talked to any kind of way, don't talk to others any kind of way. Treat people how you want to be treated. Treat people how you want to be treated. If you want someone to take some time and to pour into you and to build you up and to love on you, then you need to take the time to build somebody else up and pour into them and to love on them too. They matter just as much as you do. So that's one piece of what we're talking about tonight. The other thing I want to kind of get into is cutting loose dead weight. I had an interesting conversation today. I have to kind of chuckle, you know, and I was talking with a little older lady in her 80s, you know, and she looked at me and she said, you're such a pretty girl, you know, you're so attractive, and you know, and you have so much going for yourself and you're so knowledgeable about things, you know, why don't you lose some weight? And I just looked at her, you know, so she goes through her whole little, you know, and she really was not trying to be insulting, and I knew it, you know. And first of all, I know this person, that she could be a snippy, nasty little piece of work, but she wasn't in that mode. She really literally thought she was just, you know, being helpful. You know, men like women who are, you know, who are thin and self, you know, and, you know, lose some weight so that you can meet yourself a quality man. Because the only ones who would be interested, you know, and someone who's heavy, you know, would be just a boy. So I looked at her, you know, and smiled. And like, well, you know, I'm more concerned with being healthy than I am my size. And I am healthy, you know. I have food allergies. I eat a certain kind of way. I exercise, you know. Yeah, I mean, could I stand to lose a few pounds? Yeah, sure. You know, but does it drive me? No. As a matter of fact, it doesn't. You know, and it doesn't change who I am on the inside. I've been smaller than this. I've been heavier than this, you know. But it just, it doesn't define who I am, you know. It doesn't make me less beautiful. It doesn't make me, you know, I still do all the same things at this size as I did when I was heavier, as I did when I was smaller. I take care of myself, you know. I smell good. I pamper myself. Yes, I'm a very pampered person because I pamper me. I am a priority in my own life. You know, and so those things wouldn't change. And I had to tell her, I'm like, you know, I have kind of had a problem finding men to love me, you know, because to someone, I am the perfect cup of tea. You know, I am the right flavor, the right intensity. You know, I am exactly what he's looking for, you know, and he's not asking me to be anything or anyone different than who I am, you know. I said, you know, and just like, and so some men don't like little tall, skinny women. You know, I look at her and, you know, like she's older now, but, you know, they don't change that much, you know, and she's still tall and thin like she was, you know, and she wasn't very shapely, you know, I mean, and I'm sure for some man, she may have been his perfect cup of tea, you know, but obviously someone who's looking for that wouldn't be looking for me, and that's okay, you know, but I was just trying to, you know, just to point across to her that, you know, not everyone likes the same thing. You know, some men don't like tall women. Some men like short women. You know, some of them like them voluptuous. You know, whatever it is. And I don't feel the need to have to be something else just to fit someone else's idea of a beauty or perfection or whatever. And I think, isn't it the most interesting that, you know, those who are always trying to force perfection on you are the furthest from it. But I digress. And, but it brings me to a point because there are many of you out there who have been so beaten down and so criticized and so over the head, you know, and made to feel as if no matter what you do or who you are, you're never good enough. But you know what? When God created you, he didn't look at you and say, it's half baked, put it back in the oven. He looked at you and said, it was a perfect creation. It's good. And so that doesn't mean that you are perfect, because we aren't perfect people. You know, there is none perfect but Jesus. You know, so we're not perfect people, but we are perfect creation. And in that being a perfect creation, that doesn't mean there aren't things that we have to work on. There are. You know, there are just things that we are always going to be works in progress. From the day we're born to the day we die, we will be. There's always going to be something that we need to be working on. You know. However, you know, as far as accepting yourself, you know, you need to be able to accept yourself no matter where it is that you are in life. Is a person who is, you know, overly, you know, overweight, is she supposed to not, or he supposed to not love himself just because he's packing on some extra pounds? What about the person who's a real fan and wants to be buffer or bigger? Are they supposed to not love themselves and not like themselves just because they are, you know, then, you know, no, you just, this is where I am right now. I'm going to love myself where I am right now, you know. And even when you began the process of buffing up or slimming down or, you know, learning a new language or whatever it is that you've decided that you want to work on, it doesn't happen overnight. So are you supposed to wait until you get where you want to go before you start loving and accepting yourself? I don't think so, you know. So know that you need to embrace all of who you are. You know, be honest about the things that you need to work on and change, you know, and you know, that doesn't mean, just because I accept the fact that I, and like myself as a heavy person, doesn't mean that I don't work on it. I exercise. You know, I have things that I do. I eat a certain kind of way. Those things mean something to me. So it doesn't mean that I'm not, you know, that I'm just sitting around just gluttoning. Nope. That's not my process at all. Are there some more things I need to stop doing? Yep. Need to stop eating at night. Sure do, you know. You know, all those kinds of things. But it doesn't mean that I can't accept myself and love myself right where I am, you know, no matter what else is going on. And so I'm bringing that up because, you know, sometimes people will try and put their stuff off on you, but we are not obligated to have to own other people's stuff, other people's thoughts, other people's prejudices, whatever. I was just had a conversation with my daughter. She's 5 in kindergarten, and, you know, there's a girl in her class, you know, who has some pretty strong opinions about things, you know, and so, you know, different things will come up when she comes home from school, you know, oh, so-and-so said this to me, you know, or I don't want to wear my hair like that anymore, you know, or I feel like I should need to be wearing, you know, this thing or that thing. And so we have to have conversations about that. And we were talking about it just the other day, and I'm saying to her, you know, the person who's talking to you is a person just like you are. She's your same age. You guys are in the same class. Why does her opinion of what's going on with you matter more to you than your opinion about what's going on with you? You know, so we have real conversations about stuff, you know. But, you know, we have to be taught out of that. And you know, how many times have you seen people who are still in their 20s, 30s, 40s, still letting the opinions of others rule and dictate their lives? You know, well, I wanted to do this, but, you know, my mother said I needed to do that. I wanted to do this, but my dad said I needed to be a doctor. I wanted to be a builder instead. And so you have all these people who are just going through the motions, and they're not happy. But you know what? When God gave you a life, he gave it to you for a reason. He gave you a life for a reason. He gave you the gifts and the talents and the abilities that he did for a reason. You know, and nobody else may not ever understand what it is that drives you, that's in you, that's your passion, that's your raison d'etre. None of that. They may not understand, but that's not your issue. You know, you have an obligation to be true to who you are. You have an obligation to be true to that authentic voice inside of you. Remember, this is living abundantly. And so everything that we are doing is trying to reach that authentic voice that is our voice of truth that tells us this is the way that we need to go. And so sometimes when you are trying to pull out from under the thumb of people or under the foot, the foot of someone's on your neck, that kind of, you will encounter the crabs in the barrel syndrome. You know, you guys might all know what that means, and that is, you know, when one crab is trying to get out, the other crabs will literally pull it back down and almost kill it to keep it from escaping. But you know what? You know, crawl out anyway. Whatever, if you have to cut some folks off, do it. Not everyone deserves a front row seat in your life, and I've said this before. I'm not sure I've said it on the show, but, you know, your life is like a theater, you know, and you're center stage. And you have all these seats and all these rows, and you have, you know, the nosebleed section, and you've got the box seats, and you've got, you know, down on the floor, the center seats, you've got the mezzanine, you've got the atrium, you've got the parking lot, all of that. And all of those things are all a part of the theater of your life. And so when you, as you are, your needs are, and being true to who it is that you are and what it is that you truly, in your heart of hearts, desire, you know, it requires that you take a look at the relationships that are around you and see which ones are meeting your needs, which ones are working. If every time you try to do something, this person over here on the person on the left is trying to sabotage you, that is obviously not a person who deserves any kind of major seat in your life. And so, you know, as you are reassessing your needs and you are looking at what it is that you need and then comparing it to the relationships that are in your life, it may be necessary for you to move some people into other seats in your theater. The person who had the front row seat may now need to be in the nosebleed section. They don't need to be that close. Over there on the side, in the back, as they are encouraging and pouring more into you, that person may need a more prominent place in your life. And you know what? Sometimes folks don't need to be allowed in the theater at all. Sometimes folks shouldn't even be allowed on the premises. And you may have to cut off some access. But as you are trying to reach this place of abundant living and you are being true and honest and authentic with yourself about who you are and what you want and where you're going, you don't have time to have people around you, negative influences and the negative thoughts and energy around you of people who don't have the vision of where it is that you're going, or even if they don't have the vision, they don't love you enough or care enough about you to shut up and stop pouring negative stuff into your life. If they can't be a help to you, they're a hindrance to you. And when you are trying to reach destiny, you can't be encumbered by those things and hindrances and stressors and mountains that spring up without letting people, you know, just regular folks who are in your life add more to it than that. You need folks who will gather around you and support you and pray for you and pray with you and, you know, and really just push you forward, push. You know, that's the acronym of praying until something happens, you know. And all too often, people don't get where they need to be because they don't have anyone pushing them. They don't have anyone praying for them. They don't have anyone who's willing to gather around and, you know, commit to each other and push each other into where it is that they're trying to go. You know, when a woman is in labor and she is about ready to give birth, she isn't giving birth to that baby by herself. There's someone there to help her bring that baby into the earth. And so it is with you and with me. When it is that we have something that we are trying to birth here into the world, we're trying to birth it into our lives, into the atmosphere, into creation, we need others to help in the birthing process, you know, a midwife of sorts, in spirit, to be able to help push it and bring it forth. Bring it forth. And so be mindful who it is that you are keeping in your inner circle. Even Jesus, when he walked the earth, he had the 1, the 3, the 12, the 70, and the multitude. And each one of those groups of people had a different level of intimacy with him than the others. Obviously, the multitude, you know, it would be like, you know, you know some celebrity. You just know their name and whatever it is that they, you know, throw on the tabloids or whatever, okay? You know, you don't know them. You don't have any real kind of intimate relationship with them, you know? Then you have the 70, which would have had a little bit more, you know, to walk a little bit closer with them, you know? But the 1 and the 3, those are the ones. So the people who are going to take up the first major spots in your life, they need to be on one accord with you. They need to have a heart like God towards you. They need to want to see your success and want you to make it as much as they want themselves to make it. And so who is in your world? And so, you know, for those who are close to me, you know, they know that if stuff isn't working, I will cut people off, you know. And I have relatives that I don't even deal with, you know. And it's not that I don't love, but sometimes you have to love people from a distance. You know, if every time I'm with you, the only thing you want to do is suck the life out of me, my time in your presence is going to be pretty doggone limited. I'm not going to pour a whole lot of myself into you. You know, certainly if you're not pouring anything back, you know. And there have been people I've had to cut loose who have tried to sabotage me, you know. Because sometimes people can't handle how bright you shine. But you know what? That's not your issue. That's their issue. So don't own it. I had a situation that came up, and for what it was, you know, there were two women of God, and God was trying to bless both of them. They were called to walk different paths, you know, but it was still meant to be a blessing for both, you know. And so, but people are where they are, and they have their own insecurities, and they have whatever. And so, you know, the other person, when they saw, allowed themselves to see gifts and talents and ability within me, and that was great. And as long as they thought that they could open up opportunities for me and kind of get some sort of credit and glory from it, then they were willing to do it. But then when they saw that my light shined as bright as theirs, they couldn't handle it. And it's like, but I'm not under any obligation to shrink back because you can't handle it. I don't own your insecurities, you know? And so, mind you, we're not even traveling the same paths. I'm not getting ready to do anything that you're getting ready to do. And yet, you couldn't handle the fact that somebody else's light shined as bright as yours. As long as people were under you, it was fine. But to look across and see someone who was equal to you wasn't fine. But you know what? I don't have to own her stuff. And I also know, you know, because it, to get a little ugly, you know, not on my end, because I don't do drama. I don't do drama, and I don't do messy, you know. But opportunities that you had once opened up to me, all of a sudden you're snatching those things back. Okay, fine, you get to deal with God on that, you know. Just ugly stuff, and it's like, and I can't, I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to fuss and fight with you about anything, you know. All I can say to you is that everyone isn't your enemy, you know, and that not everyone is going where you're trying to go. People really do, some of them have an understanding of being able to function in their own lane. God's not going to bless me in somebody else's lane. He's going to bless me where he's planted me to be, just like he's not going to bless someone who tries to step in my lane. They're going to get trampled because they're out of line, they're out of position, they're not where they're supposed to be. For wherever it is that he has called you to be, find your lane. Give what it is that he's assigned you to do, everything you've got, and he will bless it. And then when there are folks who are trying to step over in your lane, he'll make sure they get out of the way. But you can't go in there and snatch somebody else's blessing. I'm going to say that again. You can't go in there and snatch someone else's blessing, because what's for them is for them. And get this, and let this sink deep within you, that there is more than enough of everything that's needed in the universe, every single person on the planet to have some, and not just trickled amounts, more than enough. So I can be a success, and you can be a success, and the next 15,000 people that we see could be as successful as we are, even in the same area. Because no two people have the exact same gift. It will not come out the exact same way. And we are all called to reach whoever it is that he has put on our path for us to reach. And no one can reach him quite like you can. No one can reach him quite like I can. There could be someone who's, there could be 10 other people on Blog Talk right now who have a message similar. But it will come across a little bit differently because we all have just a little bit different voice, a little bit different experience. And we don't think about that, you know, but sometimes we think we can just imitate what another person is doing. But we can't do that, because when you're called to reach someone, what you need are those subtle nuances that the Holy Spirit brings, because it's those nuances that allows you to be able to reach certain people. That's why not everyone can reach everybody. You don't have what it takes to reach everyone. But you have exactly what's needed to reach who he's called you to reach. So find your lane. Get in your lane. Prosper in your lane. And then flow. Flow. Live abundantly. Have the life he has created for you to have. But don't get caught up in the envy and jealousy and all that stuff. And certainly don't try and stand in the way of God trying to bless somebody else, because the only thing that's going to happen is you're going to cut your own blessings off. There's something that you're going to want or something that you're going to need where if you interfere with somebody else, it's going to come back on you. And if so, you didn't create a world. You don't have the right to control the world. So all we can do is just do what we can do. All we can do is just be the best that we can be. We just give it our all. We just give it our all. And we love people. And let that little thought be in the forefront of your mind of treating people the way you want to be treated. If you want someone to open doors for you, be a person who opens doors for somebody else. If you want someone to pour love and blessings and peace and encouragement to you and be a person who pours those things back into the lives of others. If you want someone to just give to you just free-heartedly without asking anything, then be a person who does that back for others. We ultimately reap what we sow. And I know sometimes it seems like we have seen folks who just do what I call acting a fool. They just run amok. They just do whatever it is that they do. And it seems that they never have to be accountable for anything. But at some time, in some way, at some place in time, they will meet up with that level of accountability. And so you want to make sure that the seeds you've sown will produce the harvest that you want them to produce. You don't want to have sown a bunch of negative, selfish, backbiting, mean, vindictive kinds of seeds, because that stuff will come back on you. And it's so not worth it. We didn't create anybody. We didn't create a world. We don't have the right to try and control it. Someone to love you and support you, you know? And if you're at a point where you, because, you know, like I said, we just are where we are. And if you're at a point where you can't quite get it together, you know, where you aren't quite able to pour into the life of somebody else, at least don't stand in the way of that person getting where it is that God has for them to go. Because ultimately who you hurt is you, not them. I'm going to get off of this for now. Okay. You know, but I hope that you heard it, and I hope that something really registered in your spirit, because we're all so close every day, one day closer to realizing we have what's been promised to us, realizing the fullness of what we've been created for. Let that sink in for a minute. Just moments away from realizing the fulfillment of everything that we've been created for. Destiny. Living abundantly. Living the life with abundance that has been provided for us. No, we don't have time to let little small stuff stand in the way. Just keep it moving. And don't get caught up in the drama. You know, just declare that you will just, you know, that you are drama-free, and everybody around you and everybody who deals with you has to be drama-free. And no matter what's going on before you get there, the moment you step foot in the place, you know, all the drama just dissipates. Too short, and we got too much to do. So on that note, I'll end this. But, you know, so if you've had a chance to check out my award-winning novel, Season of Change, I hope that you are telling others about it. And if you have, please leave a review. I had never really understood the importance of feedback and reviews and things like that until, you know, this particular project. But reviews, positive reviews and things like that make a difference. Even ones that are not quite so positive, you know, will help the author or artist or whatever to grow. So make sure that you are leaving a review like on Amazon and Goodreads and spreading the positive word, you know, because, you know, word of mouth is really quite important as far as, you know, helping people get their stuff out there. But the feedback I have been getting from readers has been so humbling. You know, it's nothing quite like when someone takes the time to write you back and tell you how a work that you have put forth has really changed their lives. And, you know, and they start going into their stories, and it's beautiful and heart-wrenching and all that. The Season of Change is available in hard copy. You can get it directly off Amazon, or you can get it from my website, TamikaPatrice.com. It's also available on all e-readers. So be sure to check it out. You will be so glad that you did. Books make excellent gifts to all the readers in your life, so consider giving Season of Change to those that you love. Your Valentine's Day is right around the corner. Okay, that will be a wonderful, you know, gift to pour into someone's life. It's my desire that with everything I write and with each connect, to leave a positive, lasting word that will point others into living their most abundant and blessed life, even through the fiction that I write. You know, and if I haven't mentioned it, my next book, After the Rain, the Poetry Collective, will be out by the end of the first quarter. And if you are a poetry lover, then this is the collection for you. It's heartfelt, it's emotional, it's candid, and it will be out soon. I can't wait to reveal the cover. I've got the art back from the artist who is working on the cover, and my book cover designer is working on some things. I can't wait to see it and get that project going. That's another one that has been a long time coming, and yet now is the time. So, you know, just really happy for it. You can follow me on Facebook, and that is Tamika, T-U-M-I-K-A, Patrice, P-A-T-R-I-C-E, Kane, C-A-I-N. On Twitter, I am at Tamika Patrice. And, of course, you may go to my website for detailed information on my books, calendar, links to booksellers, etc. You know, it's all one-stop shopping. And, again, that's TamikaPatrice.com, T-U-M-I-K-A-P-A-T-R-I-C-E.com. If you are a writer, be sure to connect with me through my book club. You can email me for information. Say what, BC, so that's say what, BC, as in book club, at yahoo.com. We've got a couple of different programs that will we help to get exposure to who are really just masters of their craft. You know, they really just have a real knack for writing and a desire to put forth a quality product. And those types of people deserve to have exposure and also deserve to, you know, to be rewarded for their efforts. And so at Say What Book Club, we strive to do that and to, you know, to get exposure. And we are readers and writers and lovers of words all gathered together in one place. We have a Facebook group, and we also have a blog. We do interviews and book reviews and, you know, all kinds of things. So, you know, be sure to check us out. But for more information, you can email me again, and that was saywhatbc, so saywhatbc as in book club, at yahoo.com. And remember that no matter what life throws your way, no matter how down you may have been, if you woke up another day and there was breath in your body, it's a chance to get it right once again. And know that when changes happen that rid your life of excess baggage, it's really for your benefit, and all you're really doing is making room for greater blessings to take place in your life. Love yourself enough to let the baggage go. All those people we talked about and all those kinds of circumstances of folks who don't really understand who you are, don't know where you're going, and they're being more of a hindrance than a blessing. You don't have time to deal with it. You have to let it go. So love yourself enough to let the blessings in, even as you're loving yourself enough to let the baggage go. Here at Inkscriptions and at Living Abundantly, we are changing lives one word at a time, because that's what we strive to do. And as always, make each day a great day. I'm glad you joined me. Good night. Talk to you next week.